This evening's scripture reading comes from the book of 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 6 through 8. That's 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 6 through 8. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou should stir up the gifts of God which is in thee by putting on the hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the affections of the gospel, according to the power of God.
Paul began the second epistle to Timothy by encouraging Timothy to be bold in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 6 he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands." Being bold in the gospel of Christ is important. As we know, without boldness, without the preaching of the gospel, no one would be saved. It is the gospel that calls one to Jesus Christ. He continued in verse 7 and said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." God has emboldened us. He has given us exactly what we need in order to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not always easy. Oftentimes it takes many years, sometimes less, but yet we have this confidence. We ought to have this confidence that in preaching and teaching the Word of God, one might be called to Jesus Christ. And so Paul here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is trying to encourage Timothy, a young minister in the Lord's church. Be bold. You have all that you need in order to prepare one for the acceptance of Jesus Christ. And because he was prepared, he ought not be ashamed. He says in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." God had prepared Timothy. He had all the tools necessary. He had prepared him with sound mind, and because of that, he was to be bold. He wasn't to be ashamed of Paul, a preacher of the gospel of Christ, and he certainly wasn't to be ashamed of the gospel itself. In the verses that follow, he gives the very reasons why we ought not be ashamed to preach and teach the gospel of Christ. I think oftentimes the world has successfully convinced us that, well, maybe we shouldn't be so bold. Maybe we should be afraid to share the gospel. Maybe we should be timid. Maybe we shouldn't even utter the gospel to anybody. But here Paul's encouraging Timothy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, be bold. You have what you need. And there are many reasons why you ought to be willing and ready to preach and to teach the gospel. In verse 9, he gives the first reason. He reminds Timothy that God had saved them with a holy calling. He says in verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." First and foremost, we ought to be bold in the gospel of Christ. Want to share it with others because God has saved us. And God has saved us with a holy calling. How has God called us? How has he brought us to his Son, Jesus Christ? If you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, the scripture there reads, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. He had called them by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it takes us, Christians, those that have believed and obeyed, to share that gospel. It is the gospel that is going to call one to Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's the power of God unto salvation. James says the gospel is able to save one soul. And so we ought not be ashamed of it. Here Paul is telling Timothy, he's reminding Timothy, remember what God has done for you. When you feel timid, when you feel afraid, when you feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't share the gospel of Christ, remember that God has saved you and that he has called you unto a holy calling. When one hears and listens and obeys, they are called, and the scripture says that God will save them. In John chapter 6 and verse 44 and following, Christ said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." One can only be called if they hear the gospel. One can only learn and be taught of God if they hear the gospel. If we are too ashamed to share the gospel, should we expect anybody to learn? Should we expect anybody to be called? Sure, they can start themselves. They can study the scripture as the Ethiopian eunuch did. But it takes men and women to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to offer up that holy calling, that one might be drawn to God. What makes the calling holy? Well, there's probably more than one reason. First and foremost, the one that's doing the calling is holy. And he has called us, because he is holy, to be holy ourselves. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, Peter talks about the conversion and what we ought to be as Christians. And because we have been called, there ought to be a change of lifestyle, a change of life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and following, the scripture says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." And so don't continue to live as a sinful people. But he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Change your lifestyle. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Because in verse 16 he says, it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." God is doing the calling. He calls us by way of his truth, his gospel. And he has called us to be holy ourselves. We ought to have boldness in the gospel of Christ. We ought to want to share it with as many people as possible, because God has saved us and he has called us with a holy calling. If a man or woman saved your life, would you be embarrassed to speak about it? Would you be embarrassed to speak that person's name? We see many a stories, don't we, on the television? Heroic stories where one has saved another. The one that's saved, are they embarrassed to speak the other's name? "Oh, you know, I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. But I don't know if now's the right time." It's not typically the case. They want to share it with whoever will listen. "So and so saved me. They did a great thing for me. Let me tell you about so and so." Shouldn't that be the way that it is with us? Jesus Christ has saved us. He has been bruised for our transgressions. And the salvation that he has provided us goes far beyond the physical. He has provided us spiritual salvation, much greater than any other man could provide. In fact, no other man could provide it, save Jesus Christ. But what about the calling? Should we be afraid to utter the great calling, the holy calling that God has called us to? There are a lot of things in this life that we ought to be ashamed about, or that we could be ashamed about. Many people are influenced in negative ways. They've been called, they've been influenced, and they perform terrible things. And they're ashamed of them. And they ought to be. But God hasn't called us to some kind of shameful calling, some unclean calling. He has called us to be holy. Should we be embarrassed that God has called us to live a righteous life? That he has taught us to love those that are even our enemies? We ought not be embarrassed of the holy calling. And so Paul is telling Timothy here, be bold in the gospel of Christ, because God has saved you and he has called you. And it's a holy calling. But he gives a second reason as well in verse 9. God saves according to his purpose and his grace. He says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. God did not save and does not save according to our works. Our works refers to works of merit. When in reference to our relationship with God, simply doesn't exist. Works of merit, in terms of our relationship with God, are of no consequence. They do not exist. God does not owe us anything. In fact, the scripture tells us that God doesn't need anything from us. And so we cannot merit anything from God. He does not save us by our works. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, Paul writes to those in Ephesus, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we truly can't say that I have, or that we have merited salvation, that God owes us anything, but rather God has extended his grace. It is the gift of God. I think we all have a pretty good understanding what a gift is. A gift, by definition, isn't earned. And so God has offered his grace, his unmerited favor, freely to us. And in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the scripture says this. He says, not by our works of righteousness, speaking of God, how God saves, not by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That washing of regeneration, that's a reference to baptism. You know what that tells me? That works of righteousness are different than the act of baptism. Works of faith. God requires us to carry out works of faith. He requires us to do certain things in order to be saved. We can't merit our salvation, but yet he has called us to do certain things. And so it's works of faith or works of obedience that are necessary for salvation. In Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 34, if you remember there, Peter is speaking to Cornelius. And he says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him or has reverence for him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God expects us to carry out works of faith. Not works of merit. We can't say that I have merited salvation, but he requires us to worketh or work righteousness. In James chapter 2 and verse 24, The scripture says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Faith without works is dead, being alone." I thought of Jericho and Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2 and following, you remember there God told Joshua that he needed to march around the city of Jericho some 13 times. And then the horns were to be blown and the walls would fall. Did Joshua earn the results of his obedience? Did he merit it? God promised Joshua that if you marched around that city 13 times, that the walls would fall. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we're told that the walls of Jericho fell by what? By merit? No, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. Works of righteousness. The very works that God requires of us even today. And so God does not save according to our works, but rather God saves, first of all, according to his purpose. Notice verse 9. He says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Should we be ashamed to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, thinking about what God has done for us from really the beginning of time? That he made it his purpose to save us from our sins? Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Paul writes this. He says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children or of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will. God took it upon himself to set forth a plan to save us. It wasn't hatched in some arbitrary way, a last-minute thought. But from the very beginning, God prepared a plan for us to be saved. There was preparation involved. And of course, we know that preparation took place when he sent forth his Son, who died on the cross for our sins. There's nothing to be ashamed about that. We ought to want to tell people that God cares about them just as he cares about us. It's according to his purpose. God wants us to be saved. In Titus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read that God has set forth his plan. The scripture says in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God has made it our obligation to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share with others that God has a plan for their salvation and wants their salvation, wants all who come to repentance. It's a blessing. God does not save us according to our works, but according to his purpose, and God saves also according to his grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Giving of something that somebody desperately needs, but they can't provide for themselves. Are we ashamed to share the grace of God? The opportunity of forgiveness of sins? We ought not be. Paul here is telling Timothy, don't be ashamed. God has saved you. He has called you with a holy calling. And he has saved you with his purpose and with his grace. Grace comes by way of faith. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is God's part. Faith is ours. If we want the unmerited favor of God, we must abide in faith. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and then live as though we believe it. Carry out works of righteousness. God saves with a holy calling and according to his purpose and his grace, but also God saves through Jesus Christ. He continues in verse 9 where it says, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. Verse 10 says, but it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ revealed something to mankind. He revealed God's purpose and God's grace, but is now made manifest, he says, by the appearing of our Lord or our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and following tells us. There it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace has been revealed. His purpose has been revealed for mankind. How? By the person, Jesus Christ. If you remember in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the scripture tells us there that the Word became flesh, and they beheld his glory, and he was full of what? Grace. We see the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We see the purpose of God. His longing to have all of mankind saved in Jesus Christ. That's something to share. That God, the Almighty God, wanted our salvation so dearly that he sent forth his Son. Should we be embarrassed of that? Should we second guess ourselves before we share it? We shouldn't. God has commissioned us to preach and teach concerning his only begotten Son and his death, burial, and resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, the scripture says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We can't be embarrassed about what God has done through Jesus Christ. His purpose and grace clearly revealed. Jesus Christ not only revealed God's purpose and grace, but he abolished death. He says, who hath abolished death? That word abolished means to put out of commission. Jesus Christ abolished physical death, did he not? He overcame physical death at his resurrection. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus Christ proved to all of mankind that God would raise us in the last day. He abolished death. There will be a judgment. There will be a time in which we stand before God and we will have to give an account for what we have done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Are we ready for that time? Are we sharing the truth that Jesus Christ brought to us? He abolished death. There's going to be a resurrection. There is going to be a rendering given before God of what we have done. Are we prepared for that day? In Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and following, Peter, speaking on the day of Pentecost, along with the rest of the apostles, said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He overcame physical death. But more importantly, he overcame spiritual death by his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. He justified us or pardoned us by his blood. When we had nothing to offer him, when we were dead in sin, he overcame spiritual death by dying on the cross, by the shedding of his blood. And now we can have spiritual life. Spiritual life that we wouldn't have access to without God and without his only begotten Son. Do we share it? Do we let people know what Jesus Christ has done for us? He abolished physical death, but he also abolished spiritual death if one will heed the calling, if one will come by way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he also brought something very important to us as well. The scripture says, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus brought spiritual life. Without Jesus Christ, we could not have spiritual life. It would be completely impossible. The blood of bulls and goats we could offer and we could offer and we could offer, but it would never satisfy the debt of our sin. But Jesus Christ was offered once and for all for the salvation of mankind, that we might have spiritual life that we otherwise couldn't have. John chapter 10, verses 10 through 11. He will give life, and he will give it more abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Jesus Christ did just that. What a blessing. That is a fact we ought to want to share and be unashamed to share it. Paul is telling Timothy here, remember what God has done. He has saved you with a holy calling. He has saved you according to his purpose and his grace. And he has saved you by way of his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a message we should want to share, and God has commissioned us to share it. He has brought life and immortality. Sometimes that word is translated incorruption. In other words, that which does not corrupt. There will be a resurrection of the dead. We will be given a glorious body likened unto Jesus Christ. There's eternal life. We can spend eternity in heaven with God, or we can spend eternity in hell with the devil. But we live on. And it's a message that we ought to feel obligated to share. Jesus Christ brought that to us by way of the gospel. Are you bold in the gospel of Christ? If you're not, you ought to be. Certainly we all have insecurities. At times, I know we fall short, each and every one of us, I'm sure, but we ought to be bold in the gospel. God has done an awful lot for us. He has saved us with a holy calling. His purpose and grace are clearly seen in his Son, and he sent his Son for our salvation. He wanted us to be saved so badly that he gave up his only begotten Son. Let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's be bold, as Paul instructed Timothy to be bold by way of the Holy Spirit. If you're outside of the body of Christ, you now have an opportunity to become part of the body of Christ. God wants your salvation. He has called you by his gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's how you're called. Are you willing to accept that holy calling and come to Jesus Christ? If you're ready, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without belief, you cannot be saved. It's impossible to please God without faith. But you must also be willing to repent of your sins. Give up sin and turn to God, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then putting on Christ in baptism, immersion in water, and then living for him. putting all of your effort and devotion to Jesus Christ, being faithful unto death. But maybe there are some that have fallen away, maybe haven't been living up to the obligation to preach and to teach God's word, have been ashamed for whatever reason. Don't be ashamed. If it's been a public sin, you can confess it before the congregation. We'll pray with you. Please come as we stand and sing.